You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2009. This is episode 98, Intranets and Internal Communications. It is time again for the Wells Tech Podcast, and joining me as usual, Sally Draper, to episode 98, Sally.
It's hard to believe it, isn't it? We're coming up on number 100.
That's a lot of episodes.
It is. Had an interesting experience this week, Martin.
Yeah.
I have an iPod Touch, not an iPhone, but I'm wireless, and with the new iPod Touch, you get a microphone in the headsets that come with them.
Okay.
And I downloaded the Skype application and called my mom and dad up on my iPod Touch.
Looky there.
It was way cool. It was crystal clear. We had an awesome conversation, and I was just amazed yet again at the power of this little credit card-sized thing I can carry in my pocket.
Now, the buzz is they want to, the founders of Skype want basically, almost sounds like they want to kill it.
Kill
Skype. What? You know, can't use it. Can't use Skype in its current form because they have proprietary technology. So, the guys that all just bought Skype, Mark Andreessen, formerly of Netscape, and some of his investors, bought Skype from eBay. But when eBay purchased Skype from the Skype founders, they didn't purchase actually all the back end technology. So now the founders are saying, hey, you've got to give us some money or we're going to shut you down. So don't get too attached to it.
Man,
and we're gonna have problems running this show, aren't we, if we don't have Skype?
That's right. We rely on
I don't think that'll happen because Skype is so so well used across the across the globe, really. You know, at any one time, you can look in Skype and see how many, at least you could. I don't know with the new interface whether you can see how many people are on Skype at one time, but it truly is an amazing technology. And it's been a blessing for those in ministry, too. We talked, probably a number of months ago, maybe even a year ago, with Gonzalo Degadillo from El Paso, and much of his ministry is conducted over Skype. So.
Absolutely. I did read that Apple thus far has blocked Google Voice from being on the iPhone. So,
yeah,
some more voice technology out there, and I'm sure, you know, things will change. That's the one thing we can be sure of is change on the horizon.
So I suppose we should get to our topic of the day because we have a ton of stuff to cover as well as a full mailbag of comments from our listeners. But we wanted to focus today on a growing question, I think, across the Synod and across, you know, many churches' minds, is how do we focus on internal communications in such a way that it doesn't detract from our external communications? And what I mean by that is, you know, most congregations feel, and I think rightly so, that they need a very good public-facing website, a website that is primarily for prospects or potential visitors, and that's all well and good. The advice that I give to congregations is that's hard to do if you mix internal and external communications on your website. And internal communications are probably best kept in a place that is more member-focused, Sally?
Sure. I'm just thinking about the kind of things that our members are interested in versus our visitors, you know, and kind of putting on those two different hats and the needs that they have and the expectations that they now have in this digital age of what we can provide them via the web. You know, just in a little way, we do this via a Facebook page. And I know a lot of our congregations are experimenting with having Facebook pages. And basically then it's up to members are interested parties to follow us or fan us on a Facebook page. But that still is really a public platform, and many congregations maybe have more private information that they don't really want browsable by the general public to share. But they know that the technology's there, but how do you go about doing that internal private website?
Sure. And the technical term for that is intranet. Now, the internet site is the what I would call the more public-facing side. But the intranet would be a kind of a walled garden of sorts where you could put some of the information you're talking about. Maybe it's calendaring information, online photo directories, all of the conversations that can happen, all the board and committee and insider kind of information that is probably best. Not that you're trying to hide anything, but you don't really need to distract the visitor who really just needs to know the basics. You know, what your church is about, what it's like if you were to visit on a Sunday morning, that kind of stuff. And to create a separate site or a separate segment of a site would be what we're calling an intranet. So I guess the question is, how do you do it?
Yeah, and how do you do it in an affordable way is
right.
probably another
well,
question.
Doesn't
that
go without
on.
Saying in our conversation, Sally?
Yeah, exactly. We have the bottom line and,
that's right.
and focus always. And so we spent some time playing with some free applications that are available out on the web to anyone who signs up. And you know, just seeing if they could satisfy this purpose. I invested in Ning, which is basically a kind of a build-your-own social network site, totally free, supported by Google Ads on the side. But they really aren't too invasive and kind of off to the side and that kind of thing. And then you spent some time working with Google Sites and are actually using that in your congregation.
Sure.
For this purpose. So
yeah, so why don't we start
to dig into those.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we start with what you did on Ning, Sally? What did you find there? What did you like? What didn't you like?
Well, I think Ning is a good solution in a lot of ways. It's very easy to share photos. You can set it up to be totally private so that new members would have to submit a form on the web and would have to be approved before they could come into the site so that you know who has access to the site, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can set up events and groups within the site. So potentially your church council might be a group within your Ning site, and you can control who is members of individual groups or leave it wide open to anyone viewing that information.
Sure.
So lots of ease of privatizing things on Ning. I thought of Ning because my high school back home in Mississippi set up a Ning site, someone there, and we have over 1,300 people. And I'd say that kind of speaks to the fact that it's pretty easy to get started with Ning. Somebody sends you the link and you fill out your username and password, and boom, you have an account. And, you know, not too much of a learning curve there for the users. If you want to get more sophisticated, maybe you have to invest a little bit of time in figuring things out. But just to get access to the site and have a private site for sharing, pretty easy way to get started. Definitely the strength is the social networking component. Everybody has a page. You can write on each other's page. You can friend each other. Those kind of things that kind of go along with social networking. There's even built-in chat. So if you and I came on to the site at the same time, it would notify me that you've logged in and I could chat with you, you know, real time on the site. Probably things that it's not that great at are collaboration.
Right.
One of the needs might be to collaborate on documents. Say you're editing your church constitution and you want people to come in and look at the document and be able to make changes to it and work through that process together. Ning has some plugins and things. They seem a little bit kludgy, maybe, but the capability is there, and maybe over time it's going to develop further.
Sure.
And they also have the ability to just attach files, so you could share a file just by attaching it, like in a group discussion or something. So
it sounds like a customizable Facebook experience.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it, and you know, private.
Right.
Is another thing. You
and you have total control over it, right?
Exactly. You could make it public if you wanted, but you know, for the purposes of intranets, it definitely could function as a free privatized site for your congregation.
So do people log in with just like a username, or does everybody need to be given an account, or how do people get into the site? How do you get
The one that I set up to play with, and we'll share a link to this in the show notes, it's called wellstech.ning.com. So as you create a site, you create the URL for the site in the process. Mm-hmm. And if you were to go there and not have an account or anything, you're not going to see a thing. All you're going to see is this is a Ning site for purposes of demonstrating an intranet mm-hmm. for the WellsTech podcast, just a kind of a generic page and a place to log in. And if you don't have a login, you can't get any further. Everything's completely private. It's walled off. There is a link to request an account, but it doesn't automatically happen for you, you know. So you can go through an approval process with your network and not just allow everyone to come in if you truly want to keep it private, member only.
Sure.
So once you have the login, the username and password to get into the site, then you're going to see, you know, your main page, which is kind of a compilation of all the things that have been added to the site. You'll see birthdays, you'll see events, you'll see groups, and everyone will have a page. There's a place to do photos, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So pretty straightforward. I actually set up a guest account. It's wellstechtrainerplusguest@gmail.com. That's the long, drawn-out email address. And then the password is just guest, and we'll include those credentials in the show notes. So if you know our listeners want to go over and experience Ning as an intranet, they can poke around as a guest on the site.
Cool. Very nice. So that's kind of that's one end of the spectrum that allows that interaction between members or between groups within a congregation of any size. Really, it wouldn't make much difference. And it sounded like setup was pretty easy, right, Sally?
Yeah, it really is pretty straightforward. There's probably a learning curve if you're brand new to it, but you just poke around a little. It's pretty easy to figure out.
Okay. On the other end of the spectrum is what Google has to offer. And Google is, I think Google is still kind of a work in progress as far as what they provide for intranets. I recently set one up for our church at Peace Hartford. PeaceHartford.org is our public-facing website. And I created a subdomain called intranet.peacehartford.org, which is easy to do with the Google Apps feature. This is available for free to schools and churches. There's a nonprofit edition. There's an education edition, which gives a little bit more functionality. I wouldn't say a ton. It depends on what your needs are. But it does, I think, give you a lot more disk space to play with, and you don't run into any limits as far as the number of users that can join. I think the standard edition is 50 users. I don't think there is a limit with, the education edition that we have. But in essence, what it's good at is kind of allowing the cloud tools that Google has been pushing for some time now available all within the context of the intranet. So Google Docs is one of the pieces that would be more a centerpiece to an intranet in this kind of Google Apps scenario for a church or for a school. And with Google Docs, one of the great features of it is collaboration, where you can start a doc and then many people can be editing it, even at the same time. You can share it with whoever you want. So if you have a board or a committee working on a series of documents, that could be easily collaborated on through this Google Apps experience using the Google Docs function. They have what's also called Google Sites, which is more the traditional site or subsite model where you could put any kind of content. They have what are called file cabinets. So you could upload files there, download files there. There are different just regular text pages. You could upload pictures, all those things for any kind of site. So you could grant privileges to a particular area of your church that would have its own site or subsite. So your choir could have their own internal page, or your Sunday school teachers, or your Sunday school program, whatever it is. Then you have all the other things that come along with Google, like email. So every member could have an email on the intranet. You have a group calendaring feature. There's a contacts list. So I think the benefit is you have great control from the domain level, so it could could be used by somebody who, I think you have to have a pretty good handle on technology, I think, to make this work. So there is an overhead piece to this. Unlike what I'm hearing you say, Sally, on Ning, you kind of got to play around a lot to get used to how Google puts all this together. And the good news is that Google's constantly evolving these things and makes things better and better. The bad news is they're not there yet. A lot of these tools don't work seamlessly together. For instance, you can't get to Google Doc easily from a Google site. You have to link to it manually. So there's things like that that are more annoying than anything else. But the good thing with Google is they're constantly evolving their products, and I'm sure with the next release it'll get better and better. So it's kind of industrial strength internet, and again, all for free too.
And we did hear from a couple of people actually that are using Google Docs.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Google Sites, mm-hmm. and the Google Apps actually.
Right.
Including Josh Shanick out at Kettle Moraine Lutheran picked up on a status of his on the LinkedIn network where he said he was in the process of starting up Google Apps for Kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wrote to us and gave us a lot of details on that process. And for him, I think email is his primary focus, getting Google Apps in place. And it was complicated by the fact that obviously they had an email system in place previously, so there's
right.
a lot of migration issues that he's going through. But he seems like he went through a really good long evaluation process trying to decide mm-hmm. which direction to go, and finally decided on Google Apps because of all the Google all the Google pluses that you get mm-hmm. that go along with
sure.
it. You know, the shared calendaring is huge, obviously.
Yeah, we can post. Are we going to post all his response there?
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea because he really goes into some detail about the trials and tribulations that it took for him to get set up, but the pluses and the minuses. Some of the minuses I ran into as well. It does take a while for your Google Apps implementation to get upgraded to whatever edition it is, education edition or nonprofit edition. I didn't have to wait a couple weeks like he said, but it did take a while. You can't do email with subdomains, which could be a problem. But I'm not sure congregations would be all that email would be all that useful. You do need a Google account to take advantage of this, but you don't need to use your domain email address. And one of the biggest detractions from the Google Apps experience, and Josh notes it in I think point five here, is Google Apps does not have Google Groups capabilities built in. And Google Groups is also another possibility for congregational intranet, where you can have a privatized group that could include discussion boards and some of the more social features that I think Google Apps does not have. So I think down the road these are all going to be integrated, so I didn't hesitate kind of moving in that direction because I knew that these things would come along eventually. So thanks for your comments, Josh. Very thoughtful response and helpful.
So I think maybe the difference between the two, or the thing that our listeners need to consider if they have a need like this, is what are their goals for mm-hmm. the site?
Right.
If it's primarily photo sharing and communication and social type things, just being able to post a message to all the members of the choir that, remember mm-hmm. we're having a special practice or whatever, then I think something more simple like a Ning type intranet might solve the problems. But if you're really looking to collaborate on documents and to kind of take it to the next level with your working together in groups and things like that, then maybe Google Sites would be a good direction to go.
Yep. And we should mention there's a bunch of others that are out there that we ran across and have some experience with to some degree or another. Some are paid for, some are also free or nearly free. One of those would be Wikispaces, which is essentially a wiki that you could use for online collaboration and sharing. That comes with all the wiki tools that are available to you. And if you're looking for just document storage, box.net is something that some organizations used for file sharing and file collaboration. It does have a pretty robust interface that would allow sharing and collaboration on more on the document level than anything else. I think there are discussion boards and those things that you can wrap around a particular document, but it's not going to be the full intranet feature. So again, as you mentioned, Sally, it's kind of what you're looking for.
Right. A couple that are specifically designed for congregation usage that we should mention are mm-hmm. churchcommunitybuilder.com mm-hmm. and unifier.com, which has kind of a funny spelling.
Right.
U-N-I-F-Y-E-R, unifier.com. We actually had
Matt Frazier on, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. the lead programmers for that on mm-hmm. our show once.
Yep.
Both of those, you know, designed for congregation specifically, instead of trying to mold something that's more generic to meet congregational needs, you'd start right out of the box with something set up for congregations. So that's a positive with those.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly our interview today, we're going to talk with Brad Willing at Concordia Technology Solutions, and they have a solution for intranet as well, Member Connect, and we'll mm-hmm. hear about that from Brad in a few minutes.
Yep. You mentioned FinalWeb in our pre-show conversation, and that's also a possibility if you're looking for intranet type features, right?
That's right, and I actually went ahead and set up a sample one of those as well that we'll have a link to in the show notes. Basically, what you could do with a final website is have a subsite dedicated to member communication or member usage, and that subsite, you can make the front page. You can't make the front page private. The front page is going to be viewable, but then you can basically use some of the tools that are available in FinalWeb, the secure document libraries and the dynamic pages that can be secured, to make all the other content on that site require a user login.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have a sample of that for our FinalWeb customers so they can experience some of the kind of things they can do within their own website.
Yep. And I had some preliminary conversations with Brian Schaefer at FinalWeb asking, you know, what's in the plans for FinalWeb for intranet type features. And he was very open to a conversation about beginning to implement more intranet-y type functionality into the product, which, boy, for our FinalWeb users would be a real win because you don't have to learn a new system. It's kind of built into what you already have. So look forward maybe in the future to some rollouts that will help congregations provide that, you know, that protected area that would be more for member communication. So I think there's lots of possibilities.
Yeah, very well received. I can definitely see the progression of our users over time as I deal with the questions that come in from FinalWeb users. And they're maturing and their needs are maturing as well as they get more comfortable with the site and they understand, you know, the capabilities they want more. So mm-hmm. hopefully we can work with FinalWeb and enhance that even further.
Yep. So you mentioned, Sally, earlier that we talked to Brad Wheeling from CTS about Member Connect. That is definitely a product that was built around the concept of an intranet, as you'll hear in the interview. So let's listen to what Brad has to say about Member Connect, Shepherd Staff, and another product that might be of interest to congregations as far as automated phone calling of membership lists. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Brad Wheeling from Concordia Technology Solutions. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Brad was actually the second person we interviewed on the podcast, and that was a long time ago. We're coming up on episode 100, so maybe it's a good idea. We probably didn't have all the listeners we have today listening, so let's refresh their memories and introduce everybody again to Brad. Brad, what do you do at Concordia Technology Solutions, and maybe what is Concordia Technology Solutions?
Yeah, well, first let me say congratulations on getting up to 100 podcasts. That's pretty
We're awesome. Survivors, yes.
Yeah, way to go on that. Yeah, Concordia Technology Solutions, we are the computer and technology division of Concordia Publishing House. So anything that has to do with technology products that are available for congregations to use, we work on those products here. We do all the support for those right here in our office in St. Louis. And my role is, well, my title is marketing manager. But I'm in charge of all the development, the testing, the marketing, the sales, and the customer support for all the products that we support at CTS. So my job's a little all-encompassing, but I think, you know, they all go hand in hand. If you want to have good products, then you got to listen to what the customers tell you.
So. Sure. How long have you been there?
I just celebrated 9 years with Concordia Publishing House in August.
Wow, you are a veteran there then. So, and good that we have you on the line, because we wanted to address some exciting developments, I think, within the product line that services congregations as far as intranets and your Shepherd Staff product, which we're very familiar with, and something else that you're rolling out as well. Today on the show, we're focusing specifically on intranets, so we thought it would be great to have you back on and ask you, well, what does CTS offer in that particular space, that internal communications side of things for congregations?
Yeah, we have a product that is really an intranet designed specifically for churches, and it's called Member Connect. It is a portal that churches can use, and it serves to function as the digital bulletin board for the church, where you can post all your documents. You can have your member directory up there. You can have sermons, have discussions. It's all in one central place where everybody in the church can go and find out everything that's going on in the church.
And Brad, I'm just wondering how how congregations are adopting this, you know, what kind of usage is out there?
Well, right now we've got a little bit over 600 churches using Member Connect. It also functions as a public website. It was originally designed just, though, as to function as an internal website where you can just manage your communications. But now with people have wanted one product where they can use both. So we've added a number of features to help people build their public website with Member Connect as well. So, and we're finding probably 60% of our churches are using it as both ways now.
Both ways meaning their public-facing internet site and their private-facing intranet site?
Exactly. Okay. And you can choose what portions of Member Connect are available to the public and which ones require people to log in and have a password to see. So it's very easy to set up to do that. And so that's why churches are able to have both the public and the private side in one product.
So what are the core features that a congregation, I'm talking specifically for intranet-type features, would they be using? Is it file storage? Is it calendaring? Is it discussion boards? Where do you see the primary use of the tool at this point?
By far, our most popular feature is the calendar. People always want to know what's going on, when it's going on, and where in the church it's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So with Member Connect, you can easily do that. You can set who can control and add things to the calendar, and you can also have a calendar for each different group within your church. So if you've got a youth group, they could have their own calendar, the choir could have their own calendar, and then if you want, that can all roll up into a master calendar so you can get the big picture of everything going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, yeah, we do have file storage for documents, for photos. Communication's really big. We really believe that communicating with members is key. So we've got a central place where you could go to either email, text, and now we've added voice messaging services as well.
Okay. Now this interfaces or integrates with the Shepherd Staff Church Management software product so that you can publish online church directories. Can members also update their information that way?
Yeah, they can. You can get online. If you get a new email address or if you move or get a new phone number, you can log on to Member Connect, change that information right there, and it instantly gets published to the rest of the congregation. And so that's really, really convenient for the church administrator or church secretary. They don't have to track down people's addresses and phone numbers when changes like that happen. So everything can be up to date instantly.
Yeah, I know that's an ongoing challenge with any kind of management system is keeping the data clean, and that's a great way to do it, to just allow the member to change it themselves.
Yeah, I can certainly manage my contact information better than the church can manage
right.
my contact
exactly.
information.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And tell us about your pricing structure, Brad. Is it interconnected with the Shepherd Staff software, or can you do Member Connect as a standalone product?
Yeah, Member Connect, it does integrate with Shepherd Staff, but it's a separate purchase. And we have two versions of Member Connect. We have the standard version, which is kind of intended for either a smaller church or maybe if you just have one group in the church. So instead of having a calendar that can for every group, with that version, you only get one main calendar. Mm-hmm. But with the premium edition, then you can add as many groups as you want, and then they get their own set of all the features that they want. They get the calendar. They get their own discussion boards, their own photo albums, their own home pages. So if you've got a church with a lot of different active groups, then the premium version is the way to go.
And what's the pricing structure for those?
It starts at $29.99 a month for the standard version and $49.99 a month for the premium version. It's all based on the number of actual active members you have. Mm-hmm. So however, how many people? So you might have a church of 500 people, but if only 200 of them have logins, then that you only get charged for the 200 people that can actually log on to the system. But you can still put all your members in the directory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. Now the standard version, does that have that? That doesn't have a limit either.
That doesn't have a limit at all.
That's just, I mean, the it limits the functionality. So you have one calendar.
Exactly.
And what are the other limits to that?
There's no limits. You can't create additional custom pages like you can for mm-hmm. different groups with the standard version. So
everybody's in the same group basically.
Everybody's on the same page.
Got it. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Do you see more and more congregations thinking in terms of intranets? I think. It's pretty commonplace now for almost every congregation to have an externally facing website for outreach and just get the word out there that they exist and, you know, directions and those kinds of things. But are you seeing more churches thinking, well, that's not the best place for our internal communications? And if so, why?
Well, we're seeing more churches moving towards having things on the accessible from the internet, mm-hmm. but I don't want people to get confused with the internet.
Right.
You can still access your intranet via the internet. Does that make sense?
Right.
Anyway, so because we're finding it's harder for churches, especially in these tough times, to have full-time paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
So they rely heavily on volunteers. And sometimes your volunteers can't always make it up to the church to do the work of the church. So if they can do that from home or if they're at work and they can do it during their lunch break, then that's a big advantage for them. So
sure.
We see a lot more churches moving towards accessible information over the internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, the product that we really started the Wells relationship with CTS with was the Shepherd Staff
yes.
project, and the product that you're rolling out is apparently a new version coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Shepherd Staff is going to continue to be around mm-hmm. for a long, long time, and that's regular, traditionally installed software.
Sure.
But we're working on a new web-based application, mm. which is going to be a totally new product. And so it's not really an upgrade to Shepherd Staff.
Okay.
It's just a brand-new product for us that we will have out in July of 2010.
Okay.
And we're really, really excited about it. Some great work has gone into this. We've done more research on this product than any other product we've ever released, working with a lot of different churches to get their input.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure by December of this year, we're going to be able to have enough functionality out there where people will be able to log on, test it, give us their feedback, and because that's going to be really key
sure.
to making this a big, successful product that we want it to be. And we want, you know, churches to tell us what they need from this application, and we're going to make sure it gets in that application.
That'll, I assume, be a hosted kind of a thing, just like Member Connect is?
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. going to be hosted, so you can access it anywhere you have an internet connection. It doesn't matter what operating system you have, what browser you use. It's going to be compatible with everything, so mm-hmm. that's the big advantage to a hosted solution like that.
Very cool.
And same kind of concept that you can involve your volunteers. Let's say someone is putting in the attendance from this past Sunday. They can do it from anywhere that they have an internet connection
yeah,
with that
exactly.
kind of product.
Yeah, that's the big thing we hear. People they want to be able to work from home or access it whenever they have a chance to do it, and they don't want to always have to go to the church to do it. So that's kind of been the idea behind creating this application.
Okay. Any other products, Brad, that CTS is rolling out that you want to share?
Well, we've got a new product called Member Caller, which integrates both with Shepherd Staff and Member Connect, and it's a voice messaging service. So you can call and leave a message at an 800 number, and that instantly gets delivered to all of your church or just a group that you select in your church. So we're finding that that's going to be a really important product for churches as well. And instantly communicate with their members, especially as winter comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when a meeting is going to get canceled or a church service will get canceled. And if you have a school, a lot of people will have keep hearing about, is the H1N1 virus mm-hmm. going around. So this is a good way to communicate with all the parents to let them know what's happening at the school as well.
Okay, so assuming that you've got phone numbers attached to member records within Shepherd staff, the way it would work is you'd dial in, select the list that you want to send to, announce the message or leave the message, and then the solution does the rest. It basically robocalls those people on the list and plays the message when somebody picks up.
You've got it, and then it tells you how many of those were delivered.
Oh, okay. So you got some data.
So you get
data,
feedback right away from it, too, so you can know how many were reached, if you had bad numbers, what those were,
mm-hmm.
and how many it left, how many actual people answered, and it can tell whether it answered or it left a voicemail on a machine.
Mm-hmm. How many times does it try? Does it try once, or does it...
No, it'll try up to 4 times.
Okay.
And it spreads those out over the course of a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it doesn't reach you right away, it'll try back right away, and then it spends the next 2 out over the course of a couple hours then.
Is that a live product, something that's available now, or is that still in development?
It's available right now, and we've actually got a trial available for people if they want to try it. We can give you 100 phone calls, and it's only $5, so you can get a pretty good flavor of how it'll work for your church for that.
And what is the pricing structure if they decided, yeah, this is for me?
We've got 2 different pricing structures available for that. If you know you're going to use it a lot, we've got an unlimited calling plan where you can call as many numbers as you want, and that starts at $49.99 a month. Or we have just credit plans. So every time you make a call and it makes an actual connection, that's a credit.
Mm-hmm.
And those start at $59 as well.
For a bucket of so many calls?
For just a bucket of so many calls. But you can, sky's the limit for whatever your church needs, we have it available.
Is there a website available, obviously, for more information on these products?
Yeah, if you go to cts.cph.org,
mm-hmm.
you can get information on all the products we have available.
Okay, sweet. We will probably have to bring you back once you're ready with your online management system, because that is a question we get a lot. Rather than landlocking your system, down to a client server model, I think there's going to be a large contingent out there who would be very interested in that. So we'll keep tabs on that.
Yeah, definitely. That definitely seems to be the direction that church management needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely want to get people's feedback. So when we get something available, hopefully by the end of this year, we would love to have your listeners be able to log on and
sure.
give us their feedback.
Awesome. Just a reminder to our Wells and Ells listeners, we have discounts available that we've been granted through CTS. And if I'm not mistaken, Brad, that is 10% on Shepherd staff and also Member Connect, right?
That's correct.
And if you
got a lot of churches take advantage of that this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if you do them together, I think there's even more discount there.
It's even bigger. Off the top of my head, I can't recall, but I know.
But it's good. So, and we enjoy the relationship, and I think it's certainly been a blessing to those congregations who use it. We recently implemented it about a year ago, and have never looked back. It's been really helpful to us. And I guess the biggest thing that we like about the service is the support. Your folks there at your 800 number just know their stuff, and they'll answer any question you ask. It's not just, this is broken or I'm getting this error message. They answer all the how-tos, and that's really helpful.
Yeah, most of our phone calls are pretty much sort of one-to-one training classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a veteran team. They've all been here for quite a while, so they know the software better than anybody could ever imagine. So
yep.
We take customer service seriously. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of why CPH and CTS exists. We're here to serve our customers.
Yep, and we appreciate that. So, and we appreciate your time, Brett. Thank you very much. I know you're a busy guy with all the stuff going on within the digital products that you market out there. And thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay. Boy, CTS has been busy since we last talked with Brad, Sally. They've got all kinds of product rollouts, and it sounds like even he mentioned this online Shepherd staff product that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear more about that, maybe be able to participate in some of that beta testing that he was mm-hmm. talking about coming up soon.
Yep.
So lots on the horizon, and I'm glad that you mentioned their support level, because that's what I find
really
refreshing about CTS. You can call them up, and they'll hold your hand, and it's really wonderful.
Yep. Well, we would be lost without that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons we like that relationship and continue to promote it. Let's move on to our ministry resources section. What have we got this week, Sally?
Well, you found this little gem for us to share, Martin, and I was excited to see it. It came from a blog that you were reading, mm-hmm. Digital Evangelism Issues, mm-hmm. and they linked to 100 open courses to make yourself an internet whiz.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel like you want to learn more about how to do something on the internet, everything from Java to HTML, blogs and wikis, you name it, they have links to courses that you can take for free via the internet to learn more. So
yep.
very useful as we try to put our best foot forward on our church and school websites.
Yeah, I think especially for those people who like independent study and are self-disciplined enough to kind of work through that, these are courses that are, again, as you mentioned, free, but also could lead to some very positive things that you could create on the internet via these tools that would have some ministry impact. So check that out if you're interested in learning about this stuff. 100 open courses. Mm-hmm. Picks of the week, Sally. What's your pick this week?
Well, I'm excited to share this one. It's from Aviary, which I've talked about some of their products before mm-hmm. in our Picks of the Week section. Just announced last week is a new online Web 2.0 audio editor. So you no longer need to download any software to your computer to do audio editing. You can do it via the web using Mina. Aviary tends to name their products with bird
names.
As in
Mina Bird, yes.
Mina Bird, okay. Yes. And I played with it some. If you go to the links we provide, you can watch a demo video. It kind of orients you real quickly to the functionalities that are there. It's multi-track. You can import your own sounds. They have a whole library of sounds that you can choose from. Editor is very robust, real straightforward, easy to deal with, and lots of different things that you can do with your audio, typical mm-hmm. of audio editing capabilities. You can save the file online, and then you can do something they call mix down to get your output, and it can be displayed on an Aviary page so that you could have a link to it, or you can download an MP3 file, or even link to the MP3 and WAV format, so you can share your audio very easily. So I'm quite impressed with all that Aviary is doing, a lot of image editing and now audio editing online, mm-hmm. and I think you'll want to check out Mina.
Cool. Further evidence in my mind that cloud computing is here to stay as we're moving some of these things that you never thought we could get off of a local machine, now into the cloud, like video editing. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff. So
it is.
All right. So make sure you got a broadband connection and away you go, right?
That's right.
Okay. My pick. This is a little bit unusual because it's not something I've actually used yet, but I'm going to come back maybe next week and give you my hands-on review. But everything I've read, this fills a need that I'd been looking to fill for quite some time, and that is the ability to get music or any audio stream from your a laptop or desktop machine to your stereo equipment. And I've picked this product. It's called the Linksys WMB54G Wireless G Music Bridge. That's a mouthful, but basically it's a little device that is a Ethernet or LAN extender. You put it close to your stereo equipment. It has audio outs on it, so you can use an RCA jack, you can use digital outputs that go right into your stereo equipment, and it will play anything that you send to it from your computer. And the reason that I think this is probably technology worth considering is that more and more there's a ton of online content that comes in through your computer. There's internet music, internet radio, you have iTunes, you have the Zune software, everything that you can play on your computer, you could pump through a larger audio equipment setup. And I see ministry application here because of, you know, in classroom settings or even in church settings where you have a network set up, this allows you to distance yourself from the equipment and you have total control wherever your particular piece of computing equipment is. I found this device on eBay for about $30. It sells on Amazon for about $70. But in essence, it opens up anything that you can find or play on your computer into, you know, any kind of larger audio system, whether that be church, school, even, you know, home, of course. PC only, so there's no Mac for it. The way it works is you install a piece of software that acts as an audio out on your laptop or on your desktop, and it essentially sends it over the network to your audio device. So you think of things like Pandora or Last.fm or Rhapsody is getting a lot of play these days. I've got a sample, a subscription right now, a sample subscription or a trial subscription, and it is totally amazing. You've got 8 million songs, and I haven't found hardly any songs that I wanted to play that I couldn't find, and now I can play these not just on my laptop or the speakers that I could attach to my laptop, but over my home music system. So I'll let you know next week how it works, but so far what I've read, this sounds like a solution, a cheap solution to get that music to an audio equipped system.
Probably worth a plug for our Streams radio as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Wells Artist Streaming, and you could have that played a lot more effectively than over these small speakers that
absolutely.
We have attached to our computers.
Absolutely. So
very good.
All right. So what are we doing here next, Sally?
Well, I think we should tell people to enter our contest, Martin.
We've got a
100th show coming up. October 7th, just 2 weeks away now, we're going to be dedicating our 100th episode to you, our listeners. And we'd love to include your comments in that show. So please contact us and tell us, share a story with us. We'd love to hear how Wells Tech has affected your personal or professional public ministry efforts. Maybe you started blogging because of listening to Wells Tech, or maybe your church has a Facebook page now and is reaching out in that way. You know, tell us how it's affected you. Perhaps it's something that we mentioned in one of our picks of the week that has really had a positive impact on your productivity or whatever. We just want to hear from you and include your comments in our show. And if you send us your comments, we're going to enter you in a drawing for a SIG water bottle complete with the Wells Tech logo. This is a really nice aluminum water bottle that you'll really enjoy having in your collection. And you just need to get us those entries by next Friday, October 2nd. So we can pull that show together and have a great 100th show for everyone to listen to.
Yeah, please let us know that you're listening. You know, the hours that you spent listening to the Wells Tech podcast have not been for naught. All right?
They haven't been for me. I could tell a lot of stories, but I guess everybody listens to my stories all the time. So.
Yeah, but you can't win the water bottle, Sally. I am sorry. You'll have to buy that on yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to comments. Community feedback.
Yeah, speaking of winners, Ryan Rosenthal's won a couple of our contests in the past. So we heard from Ryan this week, and he was pointing us to some webinars that are coming up. And this is a great free way and many times to participate and learn something new from the comfort of your computer. And these webinars are specifically about the smart board. They have a couple coming up in October and November, including improving assessment with technology, instant insight into your students' learning, and then second, digital content for digital natives, engaging today's tech-savvy students. Both sound like great topics. They're free webinars, and we'll have a link in our show notes where you can get registered for those if you're able to participate.
Very nice. Ryan also sent us some very cute pictures of his, was it his son?
Yes.
I assume so, with Wells Tech gear. those are cute.
Yeah, we'll have to include those in an upcoming show for sure. All right, next up we heard from Pastor Jeremiah Gum, who is at Cross of Christ in Liverpool, New York, and he was writing for some direction on podcasting and sermons. He's ready to jump into that arena. He shared with us that he doesn't really have a great sound system. He typically relies on projecting his preaching voice in his congregation, but he'd like to make recordings of that and be able to podcast them. So he's just looking for some general direction there. And I think the best thing that we can do is point him to our Wells Tech Wiki. If you're a new listener to the show, you may not be familiar, but we have a wiki. The address is wellstechwiki.wells.net, and we have a page dedicated to audio recording where we've, you know, kind of laid out some of the different scenarios and equipment that you might use to get started with making audio recordings. And so we will have that link in the show notes, and hopefully that will help Pastor Gum get started in his podcasting.
All kinds of options there. Thanks for the question.
Yeah. Next up, I just wanted to put a little plug in myself. In our last episode, Martin, we talked about computer maintenance. And right after that episode was released, there was, a blog entry that I came across that was talking about partitioning your hard drive for the Windows 7 upgrade. So I included a link to that and some how-to information about setting up disk partitions on those show notes, and I'll make sure and include a link to that in this show's show notes as well.
Good.
Yeah. And then we want to switch gears and look at Twitter.
Twitter sphere.
Right. We have Pound Wells Tech as our way to communicate with us on Twitter, and we heard this week from a couple of people there. First of all, from Jason Schmidt, who is at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he shared several different interesting links for us. One of them is dissecting a Facebook fan page. So if you do have a Facebook fan page, maybe you aren't familiar with all of the functionality that exists there. And so this is a great blog post that'll just kind of give you the rundown on what all the different sections of the page are capable of doing for you. Then he shared a link to 14 great sheets and posters to make you a software wizard. So kind of a compilation blog post. There's a lot of these out there these days, but this one is really well done, linking to different, quick reference guides and those kind of things that you could download and print that have to do with software, working with computers, different specific programs and things like that. Maybe useful for teachers in a computer lab setting or just for your own personal enrichment. You know, good guides out there.
These are really cool. They did a nice collection here that could save a lot of time for almost a lot of things that we use on a day-to-day basis. Certainly all the Office product, Office Suite, Microsoft Office Suite of products are all there. There's one for Twitter, Photoshop, browsers, Linux. There's a huge poster for Linux. If you are into that, boy, you got to have this. So good stuff.
Definitely. There was a link that he shared to how to become a Twitter teacher in 23 steps or less. So if you're an educational person and you aren't taking advantage of the conversation on Twitter, you're really missing out. There's so much being shared in the Twitter sphere out there. So this would be a good way to jumpstart your experience with Twitter, particularly if you're a teacher. Mm-hmm. Check out this link. And then he shared a link to safeshare.tv, which is a place where you can paste in a YouTube web address and generate a safe link that will display the YouTube video without all the surrounding garbage that typically comes along for the ride with a YouTube video. So safeshare.tv, I tried it out. We used it actually for Bible class this past week so that you could project the video without feeling like you're going to get some things that you wouldn't want to project.
Yep.
And I actually have a link I'm going to include in the show notes to a really cool video that, just for the fun of it, a post-it note stop motion video that I found on YouTube that is just amazing.
Yeah, so I saw that too. Cool.
Check it out. Uh-huh. It is very cool. Also on Twitter, we had a couple of conversations with Gail Potretz, who is our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent from Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin. And she shared a link to AudioPal, which allows you to add voice to websites for free. I didn't play with that one yet, Martin. I don't know if you did.
I didn't,
but
no.
It's really interesting to allow some audio on your website. And then another link for building a personal learning network. Gail was on a show back in March of this year where we talked about PLNs, personal learning networks, and she found some additional resources that were appropriate to add to that show content, and we'll have a link to those in our show notes.
Beautiful. Keep tweeting, you guys. We regularly hear from Jason and from Gail. I'm sure there are other listeners out there who are Twitter users. Remember, #WellsTech if you've got something interesting to share, and we'll include it.
Absolutely. Interesting conversation ties in really well with our discussion topic this week over on the Wells Tech listserv. And if you don't subscribe, you might want to check that out as well. But an email conversation where Jeremy Johnson was asking, did anyone have experience with Google Apps for Education versus Windows Live at EDU? So two different ways to go in that kind of intranet spectrum for education sites. And Ben Polzine weighed in with some great information about his experience. And he, too, just like Joshua Shane at Kettle Moraine earlier, he evaluated both of them, and he went with Google Apps as well. Mm-hmm. And so some great conversation there that you'll want to check out on the listserv.
Yep, very good. Yeah, again, another extensive email that he provided.
Yeah, very useful, and we really appreciate people taking the time to document things so well. It helps us all to learn from their experience.
For sure, yep.
And our last comment came from John Shoesmith, and I thought this was really cool. John's church, Redeemer in Yakima, Washington, has been visited by the Google car. Mm-hmm. And the Google car drives down your road and takes these 360-degree pictures of your area. And then when you visit maps.google.com and it's been to your area, you can actually see a street view of what's in that area. And John found the street view of Redeemer and actually embedded an image that's clickable and rotatable and that kind of thing from the Google Maps into his church website. So you guys have got to check out this link that John provided. It's really well done. Unfortunately, I headed over to Google Maps, and St. John's and Sleepy Eye has not been visited by the Google car. We are not photographed yet. So.
Peace Hartford has not either. While I was on Google Maps, I looked up my childhood home. And that was just totally depressing. I was born out in near the San Francisco, Oakland area in Northern California. And to look at the pictures now of the home I grew up in, which actually looks a lot smaller than it did when I grew up there, it almost looks like I was born in the slums, because it has just taken a serious nosedive. I wish I had not visited. I had not been out there in years and years, but kind of sad. So maybe that Google Mobile will come to an area near you, and if so, probably a good idea to make use of that technology and implant that on your website.
Yeah, John actually sent us some how-tos on how he made that happen as well. But basically, if you can see the image, if Street View is available of your address, then basically they provide some embed code that you can include in your website. So pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you'll know if it has been done, because you'll have a Street View link when you look up your address in Google Maps. If it doesn't have that Street View link, then they have not wandered into your neighborhood yet.
Sounds like maybe the West Coast is getting a little bit more coverage than us.
Well, that's where Google is, right?
Right, exactly. But so, hopefully they'll make it our direction soon.
Very good. Next week, Sally, we've got an exciting show. As you mentioned, Gail Potretz had a Twitter that we mentioned. She's going to join us to talk about a new phenomenon that I think has some educational implications, and that's the fact that Google is trying to get to digitize. I think their goal is to digitize every book on Earth, but they're going to start with those that are out of print, essentially. And they have a big initiative called Google Books, where they're putting their OCRing all that stuff and putting it all online.
Yep, they've already scanned 10 million books. It's amazing to think of, partnered with many libraries around the world. And now they are approaching a settlement on a class action lawsuit that potentially is going to open up the world to them. So some exciting stuff.
Yep. Great show, Sally. Hopefully our listeners got some kind of takeaway from the conversation. If it didn't, let us know what you'd like us to talk about. Contact us in all of the many forms. WellsTech@wells.net is our email address. WellsTech.wells.net is our website address. If you want to contact us directly via Twitter, Sally, your Twitter handle is...
Good question. Wells Tech Trainer, that's me.
And I'm M. Spriggs, and I'm the same on Facebook as well. Let's close the show with the music of Revelation from Wisconsin Lutheran College, their song God of Wonders from their album We Walk by Faith. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.